Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the sub-team for Sunrise Registration on the 28th of April, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And Kathy Kleinman, we have you noted. Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our chair, Lori Schulman. Please begin.
Welcome to our third call. I believe in the last 2 weeks we've gotten a lot of work done. My intention for the call today is to marry the work that we've already done to the work plan, as was the task given to the sub-team 3 weeks ago. If anybody has any notes to the Google Doc revisions, we'll be happy to. But I would ask this group today to limit the discussion on substantive issues and to focus our attention on, as I said, making sure that the questions we agree to be consolidated are consolidated, and that we marry up what we want to talk about to the actual work plan. If the team feels there's need for more substantive discussion, we can certainly schedule another call, or we can limit our discussion to the list. That all will leave up to the group to decide at the end of our call today, depending on how far we get. It's my understanding that our task was really a short-term task that should be accomplished by now, three weeks in, and perhaps maybe we need a fourth week. But then we should have completed our assignment and be able to report back to the full working group. I unfortunately missed Wednesday's call. It was a little early, as I'm not on U.S. time at the moment, but I will definitely be on the next call and be happy to report the progress of the group. So I will ask anybody in the group if they have comments about the Google Doc, if there's anything they'd like to add, if there's any comments they want to make about the bunching, or any other sort of cleanup points before we go to looking at the work plan and see Sunrise questions should fit in and the time frames that we believe we need to solve some of these questions. So does anybody have questions or comments regarding the questions table?
Lori, this is Kathy. I'm on audio only.
Mary. Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy. I thought that was Mary.
Hi, Lori.
Oh, Mary. Yeah, so I'll recognize Kathy, then Mary.
Yes, I'll have Emily speak to Kathy. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Great. Just a quick comment that I did respond on the table, although not to the group, to the request last week that you had, Lori, of submitting kind of a revised SMD file question. So I just wanted to let you know that's
out. Kathy, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me. Okay, I'm going to need to dial in.
Oh. Lori, this is Terry. We were able to hear Kathy. I'm wondering if it's mm-hmm. your connection a little bit. Was anyone else having difficulties hearing Kathy? I know Jay, Scott, and Phil, you were on the telephone, as was Kathy. Anyone else just on Adobe Connect having issues? Okay, Griffin, thank you.
Griffin, dial out to me.
I sure will, Lori.
Yeah. I'll give you the number. 202.
I got it.
Yep. Okay. I apologize. I'm not sure what's going on. I was just on another call and it worked fine.
Certainly. Thank you, Lori. We'll have the give the app a couple minutes and they'll dial out to you.
Okay. As I said, I was on another call and the connection worked completely fine. But I don't understand what's happening now, and my apologies again because I had problems last week. So I don't know why this particular call seems to be rigged against me.
Well, can you hear me, Lori? This is Jay Scott.
Yes, I can. Thank you, Jay Scott.
Okay, so what Kathy said was that she had submitted a new question with regards to one of the issues. I think it had to do, I'm sorry.
No, I don't hear anybody.
She said that she did not reply to the entire group, but she had submitted it. One of the questions, he submitted a reworded question.
Hi, this is Kathy. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Lori, can you hear both of us?
Yes.
Great. J. Scott, I don't want to interrupt, but I just want to let you know.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Great, thanks. Yeah, and sorry, we shouldn't have delayed it for 5 minutes because I know we have very important procedural things to do, as you said. I just wanted to let you know that per your request, I did submit the revised SMD file question, and that's in the table. So I just wanted to flag that because I'd been asked to, you had asked me, Lori, to do a kind of a more sophisticated question, not
an
intro question, but a more sophisticated question. So that's on the table. So just as a new kind of data point. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate that, Kathy. Let's call everybody's attention to it, just in case not everybody's seen it.
I don't think, Lori, I'm hearing you at the moment. I don't know if anyone else is having trouble.
And this is Terry, just jumping back in. The operator is dialing out to Lori, having a bit of a difficulty with it, and I'm chatting with Lori privately to try to work that out with her as well.
I see that Jeff in the call has asked if I can just cover for Lori, but I think we have Lori back now, do we?
I can hear you now. If you are in and out, I can explain it.
Lori, I can hear you now. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you, Mary. And the call came through. I'm trying it right now.
Wait.
Yes.
Okay, I do believe we have Lori on the telephone now. Lori?
Yes. I'm on the line and everybody's clear. Again, my sincere apologies. I don't know what is going on. All right, it's 5. It was question.
Lori, this
5.
Is Mary. Just to catch you up, I think Jeff was asking about the revised question that Kathy sent in, and I believe that's question 5. So on that note, if I could just make my comment very quickly, and it is to remind everybody that because we PDF the documents for Adobe Connect, while you will see the text of the document in the Adobe Connect room, it doesn't actually show the comments that people have made, and plus the size of the font means that it'll probably be easier for people to look at the Google Doc itself. And I put the link to that doc in the notes pod on the right-hand side. And I'll note that Christine Dorain, who is not able to make the call today, as well as Kathy in particular, have made quite a few comments that it probably would be helpful for folks to look at when they have the ability We realized that we did send this out only on Monday, and last week, last Friday, it said folks to try to get their comments in by Wednesday. We apologize we couldn't get it out to everyone earlier than late Monday night, which we understand is early Tuesday for other parts of the world, but hopefully having the document now with some additional comments on it will be helpful to everyone. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Mary. I really appreciate that input. I think that we can comment on this on the list if people would like more time. That might be fair to everybody, including Kathy, who took the time and effort to reword the question. So can we agree to handle this on the list if people have any comments? Right now, my Adobe connection is out, and I cannot see hands. And now it's back in.
Lori, this is Jeff Newman.
Thank you, Jeff.
Sounds good to me, Lori.
Go ahead.
Kathy, can I ask about this question? Because there may be an answer on this. What are we trying to elicit in terms of from this question?
I'm not sitting in front of a desk, so if you want to read it, but again, happy to talk about it on the list as well if we want to do the procedural work.
Well, the question is just says, how often are SMB files compromised and have to be revoked? How prevalent is this as a problem?
That wasn't my question. That I was revising that. Again, I don't have this in front of me. Let me open it up. Maybe we can discuss it towards the end of the meeting. That was the question I think we started with, and then we were trying
right,
to
get Right, and then Kathy had a revision because last week we did explain what how technically the SMDs work. And based on that discussion about how technically they work, Kathy agreed very kindly to rewrite the question with that understanding.
Okay, but what is the Kathy? What without saying specific?
Can you use an SMD file if it's not valid in the database? That's kind of what it goes down to. How do you use an SMD file? What you know it, but 150 people in the working group, including me, probably don't. What is the SMD file? How is it used? So Mary kindly posted material about the SMD file, but what is the SMD file? And how is it used? And can you use an SMD file in a sunrise period if the underlying trademark registration is no longer valid in the trademark clearinghouse? That's kind of what I was trying to get to in the questions. And that was an
All
underlying
right.
question that we asked last week. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you. Jeff, do you want to respond? If not, I'll recognize Jay Scott.
No, thanks. I got it.
Thank you, Jay Scott.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's relevant to what the entire working group is doing at all. I can see, I mean, it seems like the better question is once a trademark has been registered and then taken out of the clearinghouse because it either has been challenged or they did not renew, is it still technically feasible for there to be a block based on sunrise registration or claims notices being delivered? But all this technical mumbo-jumbo about SMD file and whether it's an asterisk or does it go through Ukraine, what does that matter? That's technical back-end stuff that doesn't really affect the policy. That's the implementation of the policy. The question we're supposed to answer is, do the rights protection mechanisms function as designed? And if not, how should they be tweaked? The SMD file is merely a mechanism. Now, if the mechanism can be abused, maybe that's something we need to know, but we don't need to have a technical understanding of all this. I think it's a red herring, and I think it's a damn waste of time.
Thank you, Jeff Scott. I tend to agree in less forceful terms in that this is a technical issue and that those who aren't familiar with the technology can certainly update themselves on the functionality. This is what we discussed last week about what an SMD file is and how it works. So I agree. I would go less to how it works then to are we doing what we are supposed to be doing in terms of verifying trademarks? The SMD is simply just a technical expression of the verification, and we stop from there. Susan, next.
Thanks. Hi, can you hear me? Yes. I'm sort of agreeing with you and Jay Scott, I guess. Last week we talked about the idea that firstly that there are materials, and indeed Christine Durain has very kindly posted a link to some background materials that people can read themselves. And we talked about having, for anyone who wants it, some kind of a sort of SMD file 101 at the beginning, in a sort of session for people who want to have it. But that aside, I don't see what it matters, how the SMD file works. It's not relevant. The only question is answered in that document, which is, if the trademark is removed from the TMCH, does the SMD file still work? And they've answered that as no. And I don't really understand, or at least, I guess we agreed we weren't going to be taking things out of this document or out of the charter as such, but it would be nice to have a note that sort of recognizes that we don't need to spend any time on this. It's answered in the documents. If people want to have a bit of a training session, it can be answered there as well, but that's it. We don't need to do anything on this.
This is Kathy.
Thank you, Susan. Kathy, yes, of course.
Again, I was asked to do something, and I did. There is a charter question about SMD files, and we either keep the charter question and spend time on it because it was part of the charter question, or we don't. I don't think the question's been answered in the material that's posted on the SMD file. The question is, and I don't – sorry, Jay, Scott, we do technical policy. The technical mumbo-jumbo does matter. So the question is – can an SMD file be used after there's no longer a trademark in the trademark clearinghouse or after whatever the trademark clearinghouse does with that? It's a key, and it unlocks, we were talking about the key last week. And so can you use an SMD file in the sunrise period? And then how often have SMD files been compromised and revoked, and how prevalent is the problem? Somebody raised that. It's in our charter. It's a valid question, I think, because what happens is the priority that the SMD file can be used for. So I think this particular technical piece is actually a very important issue. Thanks.
Okay, Kathy, I'll recognize Jeff, and then I have a response. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, just to basically answer that question again, and maybe Deloitte didn't do such a great job, but essentially, once an SMD file is revoked, and that can be revoked mostly because the trademark file, not necessarily compromised, but it could be revoked because the underlying trademark registration is no longer valid or whatever. Once that revocation happens, there is no way for a registry to accept that SMD file or the Sunrise registration behind it. So the answer is there, that once the Trademark Clearinghouse puts it on the revocation list and once they revoke that SMD, then when it's attempted to be submitted to a registry, the registry will see that and not process the Sunrise registration. I'm not sure, Kathy, if that answers your question or the charter question. I'm not sure what they're trying to get at, but that's, in a very layman's term, that's what happens.
Okay. I'm going to exercise some chairwoman prerogative here and say that we all need to look at Kathy's rephrased question because, to her point, yes, we asked her to do something, and she did it. And I'd like to keep this to the list and move on to marrying up the questions, whether we decide to answer this question or not, to the work plan, because that is our goal today, number one. Number two, we did agree, I just want to remind the group that 2 weeks ago we did agree that were there issues arising and the relevancy of the SMD, what we should know it or not know it, technical or not technical, we had agreed that we, even if we were to propose a change in question, all of that would be in footnotes, that it would be up to the main work group to decide because it is a charter issue. So I think all of this can be put into our change work notes, the footnotes, because we did make the agreement very early on that we weren't going to change anything. If we had comments or concerns, they were going to go into footnotes. Okay. I am actually now going to put Mary on the spot a little bit to ask her with some technical help here. So, Mary, based on the bunching that we agreed to last week and on closing out the SMD discussion for the moment, but as I said, we have a group list. I think we all owe it to look at the revised question. We can decide as a group whether or not we support including it as a footnote and suggest the change for the whole group to consider or not. So, Mary, so what I'm going to ask you is now that we have these questions and they have been bunched, if we were to marry this to the overall group work plan, I don't know that there's a way that you can post documents side by side to figure out how this would work. So I was going to ask you how you recommend that we match the questions to the plan as a team right now. And maybe if other teams have done it in an effective way, we could use that methodology as well.
Hi, Lori, everyone. This is Mary. I don't believe that there is a way for me to post more than one document at the same time. I'm looking to Terry and Julie to tell me if I'm wrong. So it seems to me that perhaps the easiest approach is for folks to take a look at the bunched or batched questions, and to try to aid in this effort, we've renumbered the questions, as I think everyone's noticed. So I think what's under question two, there may be actually four of them, like 2A through D, 3 for question 3, and so on. And if you look at that, and we've tried to use color coding to help that as well, you know, to try to get a sense of how long you think each question and each batch of questions will take. What we can do to help that, Lori, is possibly two things. Just to send out either an email or something that's more structured to the list after the call, basically to just get people to say, do they think it's 1 week for the batch of questions under question 2 weeks for the batch of questions under question 4, and so on. And then staff can compile all that and work with you, Lori, to look the work plan to try to, I guess, create space for them within the work plan. Our assumption is that the Sunrise team questions will go first if they're ready at the same time as the claims questions, but that's something for the co-chairs to decide depending on the pace of both sub-teams. So sorry we can't display both documents at the same time that I know of. And on the spur of the moment, that the best I can think of is to have folks think about it, respond by email or something to something we'll send out, and then we will try to work that into the plan for everyone to look at. I hope that made sense. Lori, are you still there?
Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes.
I can hear you.
Hello.
There you are. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I, again, apologize to the group. I just don't understand why this call last week, too, and, again, I had connectivity issues that I can't explain. Anyway, what I was saying is, do you think that it makes sense for this group in the next 30 minutes, since we have 30-minute schedules, to at least maybe go through the first 5 questions or 3 questions, however long it takes, to determine the time frame now rather than doing on a list, just get that work moving forward, and then whatever we haven't completed, people can make suggestions to the list. I would ask people just to stay hands if they think that's an efficient use of the time. Susan says yes. Jeremy says yes. Dave Scott says yes. Kathy, do you agree? I know it's harder for you because you're on the phone, but we can read the question out loud, and then we could at least try to guesstimate, you know, a good time frame for discussion.
Lori?
I will try to do that.
Lori?
Okay. So that's what yes?
This is Jay Scott for the record. I guess the first question I'd want to know is, are there any questions listed that people believe we need additional information for? Because that's going to tell us that those need to be discussed later as we go through, because we'll need to seek that additional information. So that'd be my first question. And then the second question would be, of the questions we have, how much time do we think it would take to discuss them once we get to them?
Okay. I think that's a good order of work. And we could go question by question and at least try to get something or as many done in the next 30 minutes, because people's time is valuable. So can we agree that that's the work plan? You could just use your little discs. Okay. We'll proceed that way. Yeah. Okay, so we'll go through each question and we will ask. Yeah. We'll go through each question and ask, do we need more information, yes or no? I don't want a discussion about, you know, details about what we need, but if we think we need more, let's say yes, and then we can detail out on the list what that information might look like, and then how much time we think it has. So if we could try to get through this fairly quickly, because at least then we have a rough outline, and then if we have to refine it later, we can. And then, Mary, what I would suggest, if you could make a note that you and I have a separate call next week to coordinate all this so we're very prepared for next Friday's call. And I think that would really help the team if you and I talk first. I wish I had thought of this week. You and I just talk first and get things in order, and then by the time we get to the next call, we have even, you know, a better coordinated list for everybody. Does that make sense? Okay, Mary's writing that down. All right, so let's start with one. Should the availability of Sunrise registrations only for identical matches be reviewed? So do we need more information on this? What do people think? Oh, Jay Scott hit a no. So no, we don't need more information on this. Okay. So we'll say, one, we do not need more information. How long do we think it would take the group to discuss this particular question? Should the availability of Sunrise registrations only for identical matches be reviewed? Do we see this as 1 2-hour call, two-hour calls? I think from our chairs, I see Phil's on the call, Kathy's on the call. I mean, we have all three chairs on the call today. Do you all, any of you have a sense of how long do you think this particular question should take? Jay Scott has suggested 45 minutes. Does anybody object to the 45 minutes? I don't see any objections, so let's move on to question two. Phil, I have a hand.
Go ahead. Thanks. Thanks, Lori. Phil, for the record. Yeah, I don't want to disagree with the 45-minute estimate for our work. I just want to point out that if the full working group actually gets into a discussion, if they pass a threshold issue and think that something beyond identical matches might be appropriate, it might be a somewhat lengthy and complex undertaking to decide what, in addition to exact matches, can be registered, and what it would, and whether the treatment, whether that expanded term, something other than the trademark, but trademark plus brand or typographical variation, all the things we've discussed in the group, would they apply equally? Would the rights holder have a right to right to register all of those? And if it did, would it have a Sunrise registration right based on that, or would simply be for purposes of generating trademark claims notices. So I think once you go beyond exact match, you get into some complex questions about the use and the bounds of what can be registered beyond the trademark that could take the full group some time. Just wanted to note that for the record.
Okay. We can certainly put that in a footnote. I think that is a footnote. That
okay.
Even though we think this direct question may not take very long, there's some ancillary questions that could. I would definitely, that's how I think I would present it to the full group.
That's right. And basically, if this question is answered yes, then going beyond that yes to the details starts to become a complex enterprise.
Right. Okay, so the next question, too, is one of our bunched questions with three different questions involved. So 2A, is the notion of premium names relevant to review of RPMs? And if so, should it be defined across all GTLDs? That's question 2A. Then there's question 2B, which is following from this. Should there be a mechanism to challenge whether a domain is a premium name? And thirdly, what is the relationship between premium pricing and trademark rights? To what extent do premium names correspond to registered trademarks? So looking at these three questions, I see particularly C being quite a long one. To me, these three questions, I think, would take two sessions. I think they'd take 4 hours. But I'm open to other suggestions. I'd say question two combined would be about 4 hours. Mary, I see your hand. Mary? I'm sorry, we seem to have problems hearing Mary. If people agree with this 4-hour estimate, could you use your little green discs, the little checks?
Lori, this is Mary.
Yes. Hi, Mary. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Terry. It looks like Mary just lost her Adobe Connect connection along with her audio, but I'm sure she'll be rejoining very shortly.
Okay. I'm sorry that Mary seems to be encountering the same issues I am. Oh, well. All right. Jay Scott has suggested that it should take one call, 90 minutes. So we have my extreme estimate, two calls, and we have Jay Scott's estimate. I'm sorry, two calls would be an hour. It would not be 4 hours. It would be 3 hours. I forgot the calls are an hour and a half. So Jay Scott's saying one call. I'm saying two calls. Does anybody else have any suggestion in terms of time? Susan, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's Susan Payne. It's not a suggestion in terms of time so much as one of those questions, and I now can't remember which one was. Oh, I think C, it says, what is the relationship between premium pricing and trademark rights, and to what extent do premium names correspond to registered trademarks? That sort of implies that there's a need for some information. We're not going to get that information by asking anyone exactly. I mean, we can't go to the Trademark Clearinghouse and ask them. We won't get the answer to that information. So I think we need to recognize that we have to get some, we might need to put out a call for some more examples. We do have a few examples that were captured when we were capturing examples of behavior on the PDDRP discussion. So we do have a few examples, but I'm just flagging that there's only going to be some anecdotal data on this, but we probably need to ask for it.
I agree, Susan, and it's possible INTA's new GTLD impact study will be released within the next 2 weeks. And I believe there's some anecdotes in there as well that we might be able to add. I'll have to go back and look. I don't remember directly, but we did ask that question about premium pricing. So there may be some data there that we can use. I am scheduled to present the findings of this study on May 10th to the CCTRT. Once I present it to the CCTRT on May 10th, then I'm happy to release it also generally. It'll be generally released, and this review team can use the data as they see fit as well. So I want to add that. So we might have some more. So I think I'm seeing that there's no, Maxim Azoba saying May 10th is a bad idea because it's in the middle of the GDD summit. Maxim, I understand that, but this is something that was agreed with the CCTRT. And once it's done there, it will be widely distributed. So I think the timing of the summit is not necessarily relevant. The CCTRT is very anxious to get this information. And I think we would just proceed with the schedule that way, but I appreciate the note. And Maxim, once the study was released, if you'd like me to send you a link to it or the actual deck, I'd be very happy to. You would just message me offline. This will be useful and available to anyone who desires it. Okay, so we're going to go with Jay Scott's suggestion of 90 minutes, seeing there was no objection to that. And then we'll move on to question three. I'm just sliding down. Actually, there are four questions here. 2G, I'm sorry, there were four bunch of questions, and I don't know if that affects the time estimate. Whether and how to develop a mechanism which trademark owners can challenge Sunrise pricing practices that flout the purpose of Sunrise. Scott, do you think that the addition of 2G would in any way affect your suggestion of 90 minutes? No. Okay. So we'll keep the suggestion at 90 minutes. Susan does.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I'm just leaping in if that's okay. I mean, I hate to disagree with Jay Scott, but I think, you know, when you see how much debate there is on the email list, like I'd love to think it would take 90 minutes. I just don't think it will. Especially if we have to sort of talk about developing a Sunrise dispute or, you know, revising and adding to the Sunrise dispute process, I think that's going to take a bit of time.
Okay. Mary, I see your hand is up as well.
Yes, thanks, Lori. So if it will help, I note that Christine Dorain has tried to suggest a rephrasing, I believe, that tries to take into account all four of the questions 2A through 2D. So I would imagine that folks haven't had a chance to look at that. So maybe if we look at Christine's rephrasing over the next few days, that might affect our discussion as to whether it's going to take 90 minutes or longer. To Susan's point that maybe what we can do is add a note as well that if the working group discussion of this topic does seem to indicate that there might be certain specific topics we need additional work on, and Sunrise Dispute Resolution Policy is a very good example. I'm not saying we will, but as a hypothetical example, maybe that is something that can be referred to a small group to work on some kind of proposal to take back to the full working group, either this sub-team again, if you're willing to do it, or another group of volunteers. So I'm suggesting that we look at Christine's question, think about the timing, and make an additional note that some supplementary work may need to be done by a small group.
Okay, and just for the record, for those on the call and not in the chat, Christine's question, which seemed to summarize everything, was, with what frequency is a reserve name also registered in the clearinghouse? Is this having a chilling effect on the participation of brand owners in the Sunrise? So I think that is a pretty good rephrasing, and it may certainly consolidate thoughts. But I tend to be in the camp that says this is going to be at least two full calls. I'm going to go back to my original suggestion on that, but, again, I'll defer to leadership here. those who are actually administering the calls. But I tend to be very much in the corner of Jay Scott saying that we can't allow conversations to be circular and endless, that if there are targeted questions, then we take them either onto the list to work them out, or we have a small team, like the small teams now that are working on the charter questions, to resolve the issue and come back to the group to keep the work moving forward. My observation as a participant is we are spiraling a bit in our conversations, and I think that spiral is slowing us down, and we need to figure out ways to move it forward. Griffin has just written into the chat, I'm a little confused by why we are trying to project it and estimate how long discussion on each question will take. I thought our task right now is to review these Sunrise questions, agree to whether they need any clarification or revision, potentially identify questions where we need to collect additional factual data, and design means of acquiring such data. Griffin, all that you're saying is correct. We are here to clarify questions, not necessarily change them, but to suggest changes, which goes to the footnote methodology that we agreed up to in the first call. And to Jay Scott's point, he responded to Griffin, the hope is to give the whole group an idea of how our discussions will map to the overall work plan. To that point, I think it is very useful to try to guesstimate how long discussions will take so we can match it to a reasonable work plan as the three chairs are accountable to the GNSO to make sure that the work is moving along. Okay. So I think we have some thoughts about two. Let's go down to three. And again, three is a bundled question. Should there be a specific policy about the reservation and release of reserved names, i.e. a modification of Section 1.3.3 of the Specification 1 of the current registry agreement? The next bunch question, 3B, you have a lot of notes on the side there in terms of context. 3B reads, should there be a public centralized list of all reserved trademarks for any given Sunrise period? And 3C, should holders of TMCH verified trademarks be given first refusal once a reserved name is released? I think these three bundle questions should be one call. I think they're actually easier than the questions before them. And I would say one call. Kathy, yes, we do have question two down for data gathering. We did make notes in the file to answer your question. Yes, Christine's phrasing would require it. I think any phrasing requires it at this point.
Good point. Good
Christine
point.
Dorian has also requested a rephrasing for 3A, which I didn't catch. Let me scroll and find it. I'll be honest with you, I have trouble scrolling with this document up, down, and sideways. So I'm not as quick as I would like to be.
Lori, this is Kathy. Would you like me to read Christine's phrasing? I've got the open document.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to do it since you were on the phone, Kathy.
Okay, I'm in front of the computer now, so...
Okay, great. Thank you. Susan, I see your hand.
You.
Susan Payne.
Sorry, I'm just getting off mute.
Okay.
Yes, actually, I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to be doing in at this point, but I was just looking at Christine's rephrasing. I think it's admirable, and it's a question it would be wonderful to be able to ask. I think all of our experiences today tell us we're not going to be able to answer it. We won't get that information out of the TMCH. So whilst I think it's, I think this goes back to something that's been discussed a little on the list and in previous calls, which is I think one of the tasks of the PDP working group as a whole should be to identify various areas where data has been lacking. And make a list of recommendations of things where we think data, you know, things that need improvement and need better categorization in order to ensure that, that data gathering in future is achievable. But I don't think we'll get anything, I don't think we'll get any information that tells us what the frequency of reserved names being registered in the TMCH is. Save again the kind of anecdotal evidence from brand owners who've encountered this problem, and they have. And the reality of the way the RPMs is drafted is that actually it only needs a couple of registries to do this. It's not about volume so much as the fact that something which might circumvent the ability to participate in a sunrise is written into the rules.
Hi all, I noticed that Lori says her call has just dropped. So I'm going to ask Terry if she can help see if we can get Lori back. And thanks, Terry, you're saying that we're calling out to Lori now. In the meantime, thanks, Susan, for that observation. Oh, great, Lori, you can hear us. So I was just going to ask sub-team members if they had any comments about Christine's rephrasing of 3A, Susan's just shared one concern, and more generally about the bunching in question 3, which is 3A, 3B, 3C, and how long that would take or might take as a guesstimate for an overall working group discussion. And I would assume that as with the other charter questions and as with presumably the other teams, that as J. Scott noted earlier, some of the work, especially if it's supplementary or additional work, would need to be taken offline either by a small group or taken to the mailing list to make the working group calls go more efficiently. Susan, I thought I saw your hand up for just a quick second. And I see that you're typing in the chat, but please feel free to speak up or if anyone else would like to make a comment. Susan, that's right. Lori has suggested one call that is 90 minutes to discuss the three sub-questions that make up question three. And Lori, I note in the chat that you'd said that we might have to ask registries. And I'm not sure if that was in response to Susan's earlier comment, to which Maxime is saying that registries will have – oh, wait, I'm sorry. He's talking about the meetings. I'm sorry, Maxime. I'll take that back. And I'm sure before we wrap up, we'll talk about the next call and next steps.
Okay, I'm back online. I mean, I'm back on the cell call, folks.
Welcome back, Lori. Take it away.
Thank you. Thank you. Mary, you've done an awesome job of stepping in. I would have asked the same thing. I think that with the GDD coming up, there's going to be some difficulty getting answers from registries because they're focused on that. I do think we have to consider what the effects of Christine's phrasing. But I would say just shooting from the hip, that would at least need one call. And then it might need a sub-team in terms of what would be a best practice in terms of what's working well with Sunrise to do some investigation on that part. I think this whole review, given the complexity of it, is probably going to require a lot of sort of jumping in and out of quick subgroups to get answers to deliver back to the full group, as we're doing now with Sunrise, claims, and I forget the third one, the three that we're working on now. Anybody have any other comments? I see Maxim's noting that ours are prohibited from publishing profanity language. And that some of the reserve lists have profane language in them, which I hadn't thought about, but yes. Hexum's typing. So we have 5 more minutes to this call. Should we attempt to tackle 4? Or do you think we're at a good place to stop right now? Again, I suggest that Mary and I meet separately next week just to sort of summarize what's happened the last 3 weeks to make sure that the chart is reading the way we think the chart ought to read based on the comments and the chats and the notes. And then when we do next Friday's call, we'll be even better prepared. And I'm going to try to dial in at least 10 minutes before. I usually dial in 5 minutes before, but it seems the connectivity is very challenging. Mary, I see your hand.
Right. So I was just going to suggest that if we are agreed that we will do another call next Friday at the same time, same duration. Obviously, the week after that will be more challenging because of the GDD summit. Then if there's no objections to that in the few remaining minutes, Lori, it would be helpful to get a sense from folks, just a sense of what they think about questions, the questions in 4, because I think that's the last of our batched categories.
Okay. I think that's completely fine. Now that everybody's online, so you've read question 4. I can read it out loud if you want to be refreshed. Should sunrise periods continue to be mandatory? If not, should the current requirements apply, or should they be more uniform, such as the 60-day end date period? Whether or not there could be more to be done in terms of transparency and communication about various sunrise procedures. And I think that's it. 4 is 2 bunched questions. I think, again, I'd go for one full 90-minute call on that one, Mary. That would be my suggestion based on what we're suggesting with the others. I still think that 2 is probably going to take 2 calls, but I think if we're trying to be efficient, then we need to keep it to a call, an issue. Susan, your hand's raised. Go ahead.
Yes, it is. Thanks. I'm sort of asking a question here. At the moment, have we got them in this table in the order that we think we're going to be dealing with them, or do we still have to do that exercise? And the reason I'm asking is just because this one's listed as number 4, which is probably historic, but it seems to me that kind of if you're going to say do you continue to have a sunrise, then you kind of have to ask that question first before you ask a question like, you know, do you change the matching rules?
Yeah.
Although
yeah,
I guess maybe we have to talk about the order.
Yeah, follow the logic of the process in terms of how we answer the questions. I think that's right. Mary, if you could make a note about that to see if these questions logically follow the process, or if we should recommend some reordering. And then, of course, with the group 4, do we feel like there's going to be any additional data needed to answer the question? I don't think we need more data for this one. But please let me know if somebody feels differently. I mean, this is based on opinions on past practice. Should they be mandatory? I think that's a yes or no question. Should they be uniformed? You know, I guess the only data you might want is, you know, find out or compare and contrast the different policies. We might want some data on that to see how much difference there really is. Susan, go ahead. Or if that's an old hand, I'm not sure.
Thank you. No, it's a new one. Thanks, Lori. I think there might be some data. I think it might be quite easy to find, but I think it would be useful to know who did a start date or how many did start date sunrise versus how many did end date. And that should be possible to readily pull that out from the TLD startup page on ICANN's website. Because that might, you know, we might discover that, you know, everyone but 5 registries did one or the other, and that might tend to suggest that standardization is perhaps beneficial. I don't know the answer, but I think the end date sunrise did tend to be more popular. So I think we need a bit of data, but I think it's very easy to get. I think it's available already.
Okay. So that is Mary, I guess the question is not necessarily a no, but more like a yes, but it's easily gettable. We wouldn't have to do new studies or new polls or new. All we would have to do is compare and contrast existing data. I think that it's qualified, a qualified answer. Thank you, Susan, for the clarification. Thank you, Kathy, for thanking me. Yeah, the audio gremlins today were pretty crazy. Okay, I'm going to call it a day for us. I think we got a lot done. As I said, I think I'm going to, not think, I know, that I'll schedule a call with Mary this week to see how we can streamline and clean things up a little more so we can even run through the questions more quickly if possible next week. And then hopefully by the end of next week, we'll have some rough idea of where we are. To Mary's point, we'll probably need a break after GDG, and as I explained to the group, I'm going to need a break for the interannual meeting. So after next week's call, we'll think about when it would be practical to have any following calls if we deem them necessary. So does anybody have any parting thoughts? If not, I will say bon weekend, and thank you all, and yes, thank you so much for putting up with the audio gremlin. Mary, you can stop the recording now. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Operator Regina, if you could please stop all recordings. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.